Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. Today is a very special day because we get to talk to Maren Bach Antonsen, which I've had in my realm for some time. First, a couple of years ago, I witnessed her story in another container that I was in, a women's container. And then fast forward a couple of years later, I am speaking with a sister friend of mine who is raving, absolutely raving about this retreat she just got back from. And I ask her like, oh my God, that's amazing. What retreat? And she says, Maren Bach Antonsen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know her. Like I've heard of her and I'm so interested in more of what she is doing because I see her online. I see the way she works with women and I cannot wait to jump into this interview. She is a Magdalene Rose priestess, a mystic, an emissary of the Divine Mother. She is an initiate of something called the I Am Feminine Christ Path, which we dive deeper into in this interview. And throughout her ministry, she is someone who loves to support women who are called to dive deeper into the mysteries, into the lineages of light, activate the new earth codes, and awaken their collective heart and embody the love of the goddess to usher in the new golden age. Her mastery lies in leading sisterhood ceremonies, facilitating feminine soul initiations, guiding women into deeper remembrances of the feminine God force within. She offers mystery school programs, private mentoring, temple activations, and Magdalene Rose retreats around the world, creating sacred spaces for profound transformation. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Maren Bach Antonsen. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the She's a God podcast. As you heard in the interview, I'm super excited today. We have a very special guest on, and she is coming all the way from Italy today. I think it's awesome. So how is Italy for you, first off?
We're loving Italy. I mean, clearly I'm from the States originally. I live in California, but we're doing an opportunity abroad right now where we're living in Italy for 5 months. And it is just wonderful. There's so much aliveness and elegance here. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's got to be a totally different energy than the States.
Very much.
Where do you reside when you're in the States, just out of curiosity?
Northern California. Yeah.
Oh, California. Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, I like California. So how do you pronounce your name?
Thank you for asking. It's Maren Bach Antonsen.
Okay. Maren Bach Antonsen. So as you guys heard in the preview for this, I love interviewing women who are doing the work of the priestesshood, women who are mystics and healers and people who are walking the path. It's really interesting to me. I love to hear the ways in which they started to do what they do because it is such a unique, interesting way of living life. And so I find it fascinating, honestly, like women who are like full on doing this kind of thing. And so if you would like to provide us just with a little bit of background and kind of like upbringing about like where you grew up and like how you got on to doing what you do now.
Well, ironically, I had such a normal traditional upbringing. I'm the oldest of six children. We grew up Catholic. I was a good Catholic girl, Catholic school my whole life. And there was a very significant thing that happened in my life that completely changed my life. But up to that point, I had always had a passion for really listening to the depths of my soul. So I followed the path of being an actress and wanting to be on stage and wanting to dance. And at that time, that creativity was driving me so much. And even though my parents weren't completely on board with, you know, having me go down that trajectory, they sort of understood that there was no stopping me. So up until my early 20s, that was my focus. I went to performing arts high school. I lived in New York City. I went to college there. I studied very deeply. And then what happened for me is I normally don't tell this entire story. And I used to cut this first part out because I wasn't comfortable talking about it, but I am now after many years of doing interviews and what have you. But what happened for me is that my brother, actually, he was younger than me, he committed suicide. And because many people are curious when I say that, the truth of the matter is he was in a deep love relationship. He was young, first love. And his girlfriend cheated on him, and his tender heart couldn't bear that. And so in a very rash moment, no note, no nothing, he committed suicide. And it was an absolute shock, as you can imagine, for my very traditional, very normal family. And there were no signs, no nothing. And what happened to me after that was it was as if a switch got flipped off. I suddenly lost my interest, my passion, my vitality, and my drive for being on stage and for pursuing the arts. And I was suddenly on fire with a desire for God. And it's interesting when I look back that the loss of my brother actually was the gain of the path that I'm on now. So it's interesting how sometimes we go through these experiences in life. I know many of us have stories like this where we feel like we're in the fire and we're going to die, but what's really happening is that the diamond is us, is being shaped and is being invited to come into its shine. And so that's what happened to me. And on a very memorable night, I was volunteering because I really became passionate about spirituality. And at the time I was young, I was broke. The only way to get near teachers and visionaries was to volunteer. So I began to live at different ashrams. I did seva. And on this particular night that really changed my life, I was volunteering at the New York Open Center in New York City. I got a pass to do a workshop. I could either do a feng shui workshop or a autumn equinox ceremony. And I literally remember looking at both, thinking, I want to do both. What should I choose? They were both at the same time. One was upstairs, one was downstairs in the workshop rooms. And by a complete act of destiny, I chose the autumn equinox ceremony. At the time, I literally did not know what the word equinox meant. I just remember having the thought, well, I love fall in New York City. I'm going to do this autumn thing. And when I arrived that evening at the workshop, the facilitator was a woman, and I was late, and I practically banged through the door. And what I saw in that room that night was a circle of women around a center altar, lights everywhere, candles lit, women dressed up in their goddess best. And I had a visceral experience, the first one of my life, where when I hit that door frame, my entire body froze, and it was as if my cells, the deepest level of my being, was like popping and fizzing. And I got activated in that moment. I remembered this incredible thing that was sisterhood, sacredness, ceremony, circle. And I went through the evening so lit up, and I went right up to the facilitator afterwards, and I said, I have to do what you do. And after a few talks and a few teas together, she was older, she invited me to be her apprentice. And that was when I was 25. And that was the beginning of my priestess codes being activated, the beginning of my priestess path, and my very first entry into, at least in this lifetime, my very first mystery school. At the time, even though it was the 90s, she was a visionary. She was on the forefront of this awakening, you know, this feminine movement. And I went through 2 years of the Woman Spirit Mystery School program with this beautiful woman, Susan Mary Heller, who became a dear mentor to me and truly was the person who changed my life and probably impacted my life the most.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seemed like you were on the forefront of all of that happening, like of that movement and you know, certainly the Susan lady for sure. But like, even you're saying you were 25 when you first started on this path. And I feel like just now within like the last like 5 years or so, it's kind of gone a bit mainstream in terms of like priestesshood and people actually kind of know what that word means now. So how was that for you? Like, were your parents and like the people in your life, were they like judging your choice of career, or did you judge it? Like, did you have insecurities about like, can this be real for me? Can this be like a real life way of living?
Such a great question. I had no insecurities. I was absolutely filled with a knowing deep at the level of my bones, my belly, my breath, my DNA, a knowing that this was the work that I had to do. Not even that I was meant to do, that I was destined to do. It wasn't even that I had the vision yet the way that I do now. I just knew in that moment there was nothing else that I could do even. And so at the time, to answer your question, yes, my family thought I was absolutely from another planet, but I had the good luck of being one of 6 children. And quite honestly, my parents were just like, okay, whatever. So long as she can afford her rent and she's doing what she's doing, they had other kids to worry about. And, you know, again, the loss of my brother a year before, they were still reeling from that. So at that time, just to go back a moment, there was a coordinate that I look back at now, and it's the coordinate where I was broken, but I remained open. And I do believe that at that specific coordinate of our life, the divine can come in and can begin to guide us if we are not in resistance and if we're not convinced that we know better. And that was the blessing of my brother's death. And so my parents saw that I was being led by something that I was so lit up about. And although they didn't understand and they had all manner of judgments about it, they still allowed me to pursue what I was pursuing.
Did they understand at all, like with the divine feminine or goddess energy? They just thought, she's happy and this seems like it looks like it's my work for her. And that was that.
There was absolutely no understanding. Even to this day, sadly, there's no understanding of the divine feminine. My father has since passed away, but it is a source of grief for me that my mother and I can't share any language or any connection around the divine feminine. I'm so blessed though, because I have women who come to my retreats and they come with their mothers, and I get to experience these beautiful mother-daughter connections and relationships that I get to bask in and see and learn from. And incredibly blessed that I have a daughter. She's 22 now. And I now know how to mother her from the perspective of the heart, from the perspective of the divine feminine, because of the way that I've watched and I've seen women with their daughters over the years in my temple, in my work. So I'm very blessed in that way.
Let's talk about the divine feminine energy and what that really means, because I feel like there is a lot of it more than ever before, I feel like, online and Instagram world and all of that. And so I wonder, what does that energy in terms of the divine feminine embodiment from your perspective, like what does that look like and what is that in everyday life?
So I'll start by answering that question, actually, not with words, but through an experience. I'm going to invite your listeners to notice that on any given day, our energy is positioned in the front of our body. And the front of our body is our masculine energy. It's the outward energy. It's the energy that tracks the field, that is in action, that says, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? And it's like looking for where to move. The feminine energy, and everybody could try this now if they'd like, you can literally feel it in your body. If you just gently shift your energy to the back of your body, whether you do that subtly with movement or even just with intention and visualization, the back of our body is the feminine realm. It's the receptive energy. It's the magnetic quality in us. It is that place that we can yield and rest and restore, contemplate, reflect, and not be in action. And ultimately, the universe is designed to be in balance of both. But because we have valued the masculine, our accomplishing success, getting somewhere, being somebody, making an impact, being of service. And this is true even in the divine feminine realm. Most people talk about the feminine, but they really don't understand feminine energy. They get burned out, they get exhausted. So the feminine energy is that soft, tender, receptive nature in us. And it is that ability to be so content and at peace in oneself without possessed by the energy of having to prove oneself in the world. Now, is that energy incredibly, are we indoctrinated in that? Are we brainwashed in that? Absolutely. But there is a way to balance that energy where you can witness it and you can make a choice. And that choice point of, I'm going to value sublime rest. I'm going to go into my inner temple and listen to my inner voice. I'm going to connect with my heart. These are all feminine tenets of feminine embodiment. As a very successful entrepreneur, as a priestess, I don't have a plan in my business. I don't have launches the way that, you know, a lot of other successful entrepreneurs do that. I literally sit with my heart. I listen to the voice of God, Goddess, and I ask, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? What is it that I'm meant to create? And when I'm in a fallow season, when there's nothing coming, I know there's not meant to be anything. I'm gestating. Something is seeded. Something is happening in me. And I've really learned to trust that. And then I have learned to feel that when the masculine, when the action is ripe and ready to express, it is like a wave of incredible inspiration, incredible joy that overtakes you. You can't not move. It's choiceless choice. And so I always wait for that. And I would say that is feminine embodiment, that ability to also live from that back of the body, from those feminine realms, those that receptive nature. You know, just to put a little seed into the mix here, I do believe that as women, we have the potential to activate the Holy Grail codes, the chalice codes. And that template is all about the full receptivity to the divine and the prayer that says, fill me, flow through me. I surrender my will to your will. I am here to serve in the most humble, authentic way. Use me to bring heaven on earth, whatever that might be, and to have no attachments to how it looks or how it's supposed to be. I would say that is very much how to sort of be in feminine embodiment and specifically around business.
So it's interesting. I love your explanation of what that looks like in terms of using your energy in more of the divine feminine way, but then you're navigating when to execute, like when to actually use your masculine. That's definitely something I've struggled with, you know, like feeling like I have all these things I want to offer the world and things I want to do. But then it's like, how much do you do before you're now depleting like your feminine vessel? You know what I mean? And like that, like creative energy that started it all. And it's like, I don't want to put out that flame because that's actually the flame that started it all. So thank you for that explanation, because I feel like a lot of women who walk this path and a lot of women who listen to this podcast, they're trying to navigate that themselves. They're trying to figure out like, okay, like I have all these offers. I have this idea of like what I want to do, but like, how do I put it out into the world? How do I navigate that energy and use it in a way where it feels good to me? And at the end of it, I feel like I didn't deplete like my feminine energy within me. And you were talking, I know when I did the intro to this, I was talking a bit about some of the, you know, things that you do in terms of, I know you're a Magdalene Rose priestess and of course a mystic, and something in there that I was wondering about, which was the I am feminine Christ path. And like, I found that interesting. I was like, I don't know what that is. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that piece.
Sure. I'll start by saying that as someone that for a very long time was an awakened devotee of the goddess and of the divine feminine and embraced everything sacred feminine, I definitely had a lot of resistance to the word Christ, because to me, it represented patriarchy, it represented religion, it represented Catholicism in my past and something that I was no longer coherent with. Then I had an unbelievable mystical experience that began to open my heart and open my perception in a different way. And I realized, and it's encoded within the word, real eyes, the eyes of the heart. I saw the word Christ, and the code within it was shown to me. And what I saw was Christ, Christos, crystal, crystalline. And that is the energy of the ultimate translucent diamond expression of our soul when we are totally free from the density of the ego. And so in the way that religion has kept us away from the word Christ as if it's blasphemous, in fact, Christ is a key code. When we use the word I am Christ embodied, I am Christ in action, we are calling that energy into our experience as a human. And so the Christ path is the path of sovereignty, of total freedom, of truly being in the light, embodied in the diamond expression of our DNA that is no longer carbon-based DNA, but is light-expressed DNA. Now, I use the word feminine Christ because to me, so often we think about Christ as Jesus, which is, you know, something that a lot of people don't necessarily relate to. I love Jesus, Yeshua, by the way. So I just want to say I have fully embraced this incredible master as a personal master that I learn from and work with, etc. But feminine Christ allows us to reclaim that word as a woman. And in that way, I use that word, I have worked with that word, and I had an unbelievable mystical experience one day where Magdalene had come to me, and in meditation, she gave me a directive. And the directive was, it is now time for you to abide in the feminine Christ. I had no idea what abide even meant. I had to look it up. And a few weeks later, I thought, oh yeah, let me do that thing that she told me to do. And I began to, in meditation, I began to speak to myself, I am the feminine Christ. I am the feminine Christ. Every cell of my body vibrates to the frequency of the feminine Christ. I allow the expression of the feminine Christ to be felt within my experience now. And I got myself into such a state of high frequency that I actually had a Kundalini experience while I was using that word, which again, it's a frequency. All words are frequencies. So when we use the word Christ, we're actually tapping into a very high frequency. And what ended up happening was I had the caduceus energy, the two snakes at the bottom of my spine come up like this, come into my third eye. I got so hot. I felt like I was going to pass out. I settled myself. And then a very interesting thing happened, and I'll just, for the sake of just telling the whole story, what happened was I saw, you know, again, with my third eye, my inner eye, this shape come into my field, and it was distorted. It was icky. It was like a distorted snowflake shape, and it came from the periphery of the room, and it hovered right above my head. And my higher self said, look at that. And I looked at it, you know, with my inner eye, and I knew instantly it's an aspect of me. I don't know how I knew, but I knew. And then my higher self said, become that. So much like I was using the code of I am to tune into the feminine Christ, because by the way, I am is masculine and feminine. It is the cross. It is the cross point. I am. I is the awareness of ourselves as masculine. M, if you flip it, ma, is the expression of ourself as the divine, right? So when we use I am, it is a gateway code to direct divinity, to direct divine creation anywhere, energy, anywhere that we want it. Many people don't realize that. So they say, I am anxious, I am depressed, I am enraged, right? Every time we use I am, we want to be really mindful because we are actually creating with that code. That being said, my higher self said, become that. And I knew what my higher self meant was use the I am. And I began to say, I am a loser. I am a failure. Because I knew that energy that was distorted hovering in my field was that old fifth grade girl that felt like that. And I didn't want to. I remember having this little dialogue with my higher self saying, no, I'm not doing that. No. My higher self was so patient with me. My higher self said, become that. And so I began to say, I am a loser. I am a failure. But I was already in the field of the feminine Christ. So what happened was that snowflake and that energy literally reversed in my experience that day. I saw that shape go blah, and it reversed. It became this beautiful mandala. And then I gently breathed it back into myself. And I just started sobbing and laughing because I realized that whole time that was just an aspect of me that I had disowned. And many people these days talk about shadow work and trauma work. And what I've come to realize is that we don't have to fix ourselves. I use the metaphor sometimes of a caterpillar and a butterfly. Many of us stuck in the realms of healing, it's like trying to become a better caterpillar, become a better caterpillar, become a better caterpillar. We can release the caterpillar and allow that energy in us that is the truth, the love, the light, the Christ. If we can bring these pieces to that vibration and hold them in that vibration, they will alchemize. And I had an embodied experience of that day. And it changed my entire perspective of the paradigm that many of us really believe in with this whole self-empowerment fixing, you know, movement. And I have left that behind. And so I have now moved and shifted into this I am feminine Christ path. And that's, I hope that gives you an explanation of what that is.
Yes, it totally does. Thank you for sharing that because I feel like those two words are so important. And I feel like it's so interesting how we just forget about it. And like the way that we initially start a lot of our sentences are just, I am, and then it's, you know, tired, or I, you know, am, like you said, depressed or like whatever. So that's so fascinating how it is you, but the alchemization process through what you did there, through that process is interesting to me. Like I've seen like lots of different ways in which people do, what do you call, like shadow work. But I think that, you know, becoming it, like I really, really love that I am process that you did there. So I wonder, so when it comes to women who are interested in, let's say, maybe they're newer to this, let's just say that. And, you know, we've talked a bit about what you do, you've shared on your path, how you got to where you are. And if there are certain women who are listening to this and they're just wondering, like, how can I start doing this? How can I start to embody my inner goddess within me, what would you suggest to them?
This may sound trite and it may be overused, but it is absolutely the most essential thing, I believe, that we can start to do first and foremost. And that is sit in silence. Teach the body what it feels like to slow down and stop being stimulated. To sit in silence, and I don't even mean meditation and a technique or anything like that. Put on a 528 hertz music, put on some beautiful music that relaxes you. Just sit in silence with yourself and breathe. Everything God is inside of your body. God is in your breath. God is vibrating in your cells. So to connect with who we are inside is the only way that we can access the mystical realms and access everything, the intelligence, the omniscient, eternal, overwhelming intelligence that is Mother, Father, Creator, God. And so that is what I would say first and foremost.
And I think that's so, it is a practice. It's a funny because that's actually how I initially got on my path is through meditation. So there is just something there about sitting still, sitting in silence. And if you're listening to this and you've never really done that before, I mean, that is truly like the best place to start because people think it's not hard and they think it's like, okay, what's this going to do? But once they're actually sitting there and they're trying to be silent and tuning in, that's when they realize like, wow, like I'm very overstimulated person. And I always, there's all these crazy thoughts going through my mind all the time. And then it begins a journey of really like settling into that soul frequency of like who you actually are. Right. And like, the energy that you are here to bring. So I'm wondering too about, we talked a bit about this earlier, but I kind of want to bring it back to priestesshood, right? And this energy around like modern day priestessing and what that looks like now, because I've read books like Gaia Codex and like stuff like that. And it just like takes you into this realm of like the, what are you possibly used to be a priestess during a totally different time in history. And so it does, you know, ask the question kind of like, well, in modern day society with everything being so different than what it used to be when priestesses were, you know, living in, I would say probably the most recognized and some would say amongst the kings and the queens of the past were the priestesses, to modern day society, what does that look like to be a, like a modern day priestess?
First and foremost, we have to remember that the priestess is an archetype. So an archetype is a field of energy that exists in a higher dimension that many of us begin to connect with when we begin to awaken those codes of that archetype. The priestess ultimately is an archetype. And anybody that tells you that the priestess is this, that, or the other thing is only coming at it from a human perspective, is making it mean this, that, or the other thing, right? I think there are countless expressions of the priestess. And in my experience, because I want to honor that everybody has their own experience of the priestess. And although I have been on this path and I have called myself a priestess for a long time, I don't consider myself an expert about the priestess or anything. But in my experience, the priestess is a conduit between the heavenly realms and the human realms. And in the very best of what a priestess can offer is a ministry. Now, many people use the word mission, and to me, mission is very masculine. It's like, I have to do this thing. And for me, a ministry is about ministering, like gently ministering the divine. And how do we do that? By being that, by embodying that. So in my work, I know that some of the very best of what I do is hold safe and sacred space for women to come and gather and open to the sacred. It's hard to do on our own. And we can say, yes, meditate, yes, do it in your home, but there's so much around, there's so much habituation, you know, of what we're supposed to do when we're home. When we get out of our everyday life and come into temple spaces with other women that are holding the space, that's when we can really tune in, tap in, and turn on those codes. So to me, the modern day priestess is humble in her service to know that her very best contribution is to get out of her head and into her heart. And I often tell my mentorees that priestessing is not beautiful clothes and lots of followers on Instagram. I honor that there's many women doing that and they're making an impact and, you know, God has blessed them. But you can go out of your home with the intention of smiling and blessing people. And that's where I start with my mentorship clients. I bless you. I love you. May you be filled with light. And you're just giving that because our thoughts, every thought affects the field. Every thought affects every single person because we are all one in this I am. There's only one I am, and that is the I am of the divine, and we are all it. We're like cells in the body of, you know, God, Goddess. And so to me, that's what a priestess truly is. It is the ability to minister the divine in whatever beautiful way the divine taps on you to do that.
Yeah. I love that you just said that too, because like when I first had my spiritual awakening, I got called to the priestess path immediately. And I didn't even know what it was. You know, I was like in priestess circles, didn't even know what the word priestess meant. You know, I was just like, oh, I'm here. And like, those were the first circles I ever was in. Actually, they were the only circles I've ever been in or like priestess circles. And it's just, I'm glad you said that because I don't feel like I am like with the dress and stuff like that. And so I think it's important for women to know, like, it isn't more of an energy than it is like an appearance. You know what I mean? Like, it is more of just a vibe and how you are naturally called to it. So I guess I do wonder, how is it a woman can discern if she is a priestess or if she carries priestess codes? Like, is there kind of like a sure telling sign like that?
That's a great question. And I wish that there was an easy answer to that. I'll do my best. Honestly, it's a deep cellular knowing. And a knowing is not mental. A knowing is of the heart. They say the head thinks, the heart knows. And so what I believe is that this archetype has become very strong here in modern day culture, and that it very well could be that the priestess archetype is awakening people to the divine feminine. And maybe, just maybe, people are not necessarily meant to stay in that archetype, but that is a key code gateway archetype that's going to lead them to other expressions of the divine feminine. And so one of the telltale signs, I think, of a woman who truly is a priestess is, number one, she feels different. She's beginning to outgrow many of the tenets of what mainstream life tells her she should do or she should have. And they no longer hold the same value to her anymore. And honestly, a priestess, remember, if you're going to minister God, then one of the foundations of a priestess is to be in constant connection to the divine. And I don't mean just your yoga class once a day and then your meditation at night. I mean like constant 24/7 in love, total embracing of the divine, first and foremost beyond anything else. When you are on fire with a desire to love God, I think that is a telltale sign of a true, authentically embodied priestess.
I resonate with all of what you just said, because it is sometimes hard. Like, there's so much within the spiritual community too that I experienced in such a short amount of time. And I was like, why do I have to experience this? But now that I've seen it and I've experienced a lot of the things that I have experienced, I can reflect back and realize like these were things that I needed to in order to help me to kind of break open in a certain way. And some of those things were too, just like even within like the priestess communities, I've witnessed, you know, and it wasn't always me, but things like casting hate upon each other or like judgment. I've also seen, you know, just straight like ridicule between like certain priestess temples and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I didn't understand that at all. I was like, I come from organized religion, you know, like most people, like how your upbringing was too. And then when I saw that, it made me really sad because I was like, first off, like as a woman, it's just like, it felt really good to finally be like in a space with other women where it was like, oh my gosh, like we're all like doing our thing. It feels so good. Everybody's just loving on each other. And then to see that side of it, which I have seen a couple of times, and I know a couple of my friends too have, and we've talked about it and stuff. I just wonder your ideas around this. Like, what do you think that is? And like, why does it happen?
What I think it is that there is ancient hurt and betrayal among women that is needing to come to the surface to be alchemized, acknowledged, and healed. And any woman who triggers you is ultimately a grand, glorified teacher showing you exactly where you still have something to resolve within. And if we can truly be in our feminine, which is to say, to yield to the back of the body and to receive that person and that message and that teaching, then we are going to heal and we are quickly all going to open our hearts again to one another. But I do believe that this is some old shadow stuff that women need to navigate. And it does take, you know, some expert navigation to move through it, for sure.
It's so interesting to me how that happens. And I don't know why I find it shocking. It's just this like feeling of like, oh, it's going to be like, you know, we're all just going to, it's going to be amazing. And then like someone in the group does something really crazy and you're like, what is actually happening here? And then it can kind of like pull a person back, you know? And there's been times, and I've had sister friends who are on the priestess path who have actually wanted to give up on it and not do that anymore because they just felt like it was just too hurtful to like be in spaces where they could potentially be hurt by another woman because they were like opening themselves up so much on such deep levels that it felt like they didn't think they could do it again. Like, have you ever felt like you all these years, have you ever felt like you wanted to throw in the towel and be like, you know what? I want to go sell crystals instead because this is too much. Like, what are your thoughts?
Honest answer is I have never veered from the priestess path. Have I had some spaces and places where I've needed to navigate with sisters that are either triggered by each other in my circles, in my programs, in my spaces, or that have been, you know, upset by something that they have perceived or projected onto me? Absolutely, yes. But I've learned not to be afraid of those times. I've learned to really understand that those times are opportunities for us to heal something that needs to be healed if we're truly going to move into kingdom consciousness, into heaven on earth. And so when it comes up and there's an opportunity, I think the grief is when people do run away from it and say, I don't want any part of this, because now we're missing really beautiful opportunities to heal what has been between us. But it does take a level of emotional intelligence. And I can say with confidence, I have built that over the years where I can say, oh, I get it. I triggered you, or you're upset with me. That's okay. Let's hold space. Let's drop into our heart. Let's talk about it. You tell me your perspective. I'm going to witness. I'm going to hold. I'll tell you my perspective. I'm going to ask you to witness. I'm going to ask you to hold. And if we can do that, there's such medicine. And that to me is where those opportunities really lie. And you know, healing the sister wound is definitely something that we are going to need to do before we truly, you know, move into this paradise together.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's happening every time women's group gets together, every time they circle, every time you go to a women's retreat, it's healing. Like on some level, it's alchemizing and it's healing. So I love that. And I have to ask you this just because I've seen it coming up a lot and I'm just curious of your perspective, which is really just a lot of, I've noticed a lot of like people, maybe not like particularly in the priestesshood, but let's just say a lot of like new agers, right? Like people in the new age spiritual communities, maybe kind of being, you know, being saved by Christianity or being saved by organized religion and literally posting things like, I've been saved by Jesus Christ, you know, from the new age or something like that. And I'm like, and these are people I followed like since the beginning of my journey. And I'm just like, and I'm seeing it like a trend almost. And I find it fascinating. I'm like, this is so interesting. Because as you mentioned earlier, I mean, Jesus, Yeshua is a big part of spirituality. So it's this weird feeling of like, what does that even mean? Like, so I'm just curious your perspective.
Yeah, I definitely have a perspective on this. And that is what we're seeing is the pendulum swinging. So the pendulum swinging from patriarchy to feminine empowerment, feminine awakening, the goddess, the priestesses, the Magdalene. And now the pendulum is swinging the other way, and it needs to, and it's okay. And what's eventually going to happen is that we're going to find this middle place where polarity totally collapses. It's not New Age or Christian mysticism. It's both and, because it's all just our human ego making meaning out of it. The Christ in us is neutral. So whether a person is inspired by the priestess or whether a person is inspired by Jesus, great, do what works for you, do what inspires you. It's the sort of problem lies in where people say, this is wrong, this is right. That's polarity. And I always am mindful that if somebody's out there talking about right and wrong, that I know they're in a particular level of consciousness. That's not where I am in my consciousness. And then I don't, you know, I bless them and I just don't heed to what they're talking about. The Christ, the heart, there is no right and wrong. There is no black and white. There is no feminine, masculine. It's all one. And so we're seeing this in the political realms as well. Everything was so, you know, crazy Republican. Now it's going back to, you know, all the liberals are all up in arms. It's like, it's the pendulum swinging, and we need that so that we can come to that center point.
Yeah, I love that analogy. It's actually what I believe to be true too. And it's kind of, have you ever heard of reality transurfing? No? Okay. It's so interesting because it's like, it's a part of the teachings of reality transurfing, and they even use like the pendulum analogy. And it's so true. I mean, that's like not, you know, just from that, but I love that analogy because I see that all the time, you know, with like the way things swing back and forth and eventually the balance that comes through. So I appreciate that. I'm sure lots of people listening to this do too, because it's like super interesting just to see that happening. And then you kind of like a person would be like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And it's so confusing, but I'm so happy that we've had this time. And like, I could talk to you for hours about like everything that you're doing and everything that you have done. I know we share a sister priestess friend who recently went to one of your retreats, and she was seriously going on and on and on and on about it. She's like, oh my gosh, it was so good. It was just what I needed. So I love the work that you do. I told you this, but I seen you like a year before that in a different container and heard your story and everything. And I was just like super moved by all of it and the perspectives that you give. It's just, it's so valuable. So I would love for you to share what you're excited about that maybe you have coming up or just in the collective, and then also how people can find you online.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate all that you've said. So what I'm excited about, I'm on a sacred travel sabbatical right now, so I'm not doing a whole lot of offering like I normally do. But in the fall, I do have two temple retreats coming up. One of them is a Sisterhood of the Rose retreat in Mount Shasta. Another one is the Golden Ankh Temple Retreat, Isis Retreat in New York. And I'm definitely excited about those. When women come together and we do in-person temple work, it just blows the roof off.
That sounds so good. What are the dates for those? I'm curious.
September 10th through the 14th in Mount Shasta, California. September 9th through the 12th in Hudson Valley, New York. October 9th through 12th, Hudson Valley, New York.
Oh, October. Okay. I was going to say, wow, you're doing them like back to back.
No. Sorry. One is in September. One is in October. Yeah. And they're on my website, which is priestessrising.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all about what you have coming up and how people can find you and for your time and your energy here today. Like, I so value it. Is there anything else you'd like to share or add?
You're lovely to ask. There's one thing that I was going to say and then forgot, and that is just about the I am. Think about this just for a moment. God Goddess gave us this gift where nobody in the world can say I am for you. You are the only person that can say I am for you. And so to be very mindful, I want to invite anybody who's listening to be so mindful about that gift. And there are resources out there like the I Am Discourses or, you know, Saint Germain and the I Am Movement. I do an IM temple immersion it will start in the fall. I try to do it once a year. But to really understand that that gift of connecting with the inner I am is connecting with the God within. And if we do nothing else on this path, because a lot of it can be mental, it can get into like, we can get into a little bit of a circus with everything that we're doing. If we do nothing else but this ancient Essene practice of simply soaking in the presence of I am, that is going to bring you to the Christ frequency. It's actually so simple. Every day, all day, just connect to that flame, that white flame, that I am, that God within, and be in relationship with that presence. Relationship is everything. Leave it at that. And thank you for the opportunity to share.
Absolutely. I love that. And I'm going to be using that. That's kind of like habit stacking. Like if you could just do what you just said, if you can remember to do it even a couple of times a day, just bringing you back into that space, that's everything. That's like where you start to feel the resonance of who you are inside, and you can kind of sit and hold with that. So thank you so much for everything that you've offered to us today. I'm so grateful that we were able to get this in with you being in Italy, and I'm just looking forward to everything you have coming up.
Thank you so much, sister. Bless you and bless everyone who's listening.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at This Is Jen Torres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God. And so are you.